Hey there, kids. It's me, Mr. Creepypasta, and it looked like you guys were pretty interested in this series that we were running a while back, so we've made a few more episodes. If you guys like True Crime Storytime, please let me know in the comments section down below, or tweet about it. My Twitter is at MrCreepypasta0. Today's episode is about memory, as strange or odd as that may be. America's unknown child, obviously, is not a name that many people would remember. He's unknown. But for an identity that can't be found, and for a person who can't be remembered, he's still never forgotten. America's Unknown Child. On February 25th, 1957, a young boy's body was discovered by college student Frederick Benosis. He was found nude, wrapped in a flannel blanket and inside a discarded baby's bassinet cardboard box. The young boy was approximately 4 to 6 years old. The cardboard box was distributed by the local JCPenney store. The young boy had become known as America's Unknown Child, as well as the murder being referenced as the boy in the box. Although Benosis was the one to report the boy to the police, he was not the first person to find the young boy. The first individual to come across the boy was a young man that was checking on his muskrat traps. Since muskrat traps were illegal at the time, the man decided not to tell the police. A few days after the young man discovered this boy, Benosis found the boy. Benosis waited an extra day before telling the police due to him being in an area spying on young women at the Good Shepherd School and was worried about telling the police why he was in the area. After the discovery, the local media was highly fixated on the case. Pictures of the young boy were shown everywhere in the area. This included flyers and on gas bills for Philadelphia customers. The young boy was described to have blue eyes, a fair complexion, and medium to light brown poorly cut hair. His nails were neatly trimmed, and he had deep bruises covering much of his small body and face. Experts stated that due to the cold weather, the boy could have been in the box anywhere between 2 to 3 days, or as much as 2 to 3 weeks. Initially, police believed that somebody would report a missing child and make the search end relatively quickly, or that someone would recognize the child from the pictures that were circulating. The police were hoping that these factors may also lead to the child's murderer. However, this never occurred. Not a single person reported a missing child that met the description of the boy in the box. Even the boy's fingerprints and footprints did not reveal his identity. They were used to search in national databases and local hospital records. The leads that were sent into the police all came to dead ends. Police and investigators focused on the baby bassinet box that the boy was discovered in. It was stated that the box must have been one of 12 bassinets sold by a JCPenney store in Upper Darby. All the bassinets were traced to the customers that purchased them, except for one. The case had many pieces of evidence. It was discovered that the boy's hair was located all over his body. This indicated that his poorly cut hair was done after the boy had died, or immediately before he was killed. The skin of the boy's hands and feet were wrinkled. This indicated that his hands and feet were submerged in water for some time either before or after he died. It was discovered that the boy had a chronic eye ailment. It was indicated that the boy had not eaten 2 to 3 hours before he died. The flannel blanket that the boy was found wrapped in was either made in North Carolina or Quebec. It was stated that these blankets were mass-produced and shipped to many locations. In the boy's esophagus was a dark brown residue that indicated that the boy possibly vomited before his death. The boy was extremely malnourished. Finally, the cause of death was noted to be multiple blows to his head. The young boy was buried in a potter's field next to Mechanicsville and Duke's Ferry Road. His tombstone read, "Heavenly Father, bless this unknown boy." The boy was exhumed in 1998 to extract mitochondrial DNA from his tooth. It was believed that the mitochondrial DNA could potentially link the child to a relative using the database. However, the DNA sequence was too small to conclusively match anyone to the boy. On November 11, 1998, the boy was reburied in a coffin that was donated at the Ivy Hill Cemetery. A website was made to keep the memory of the boy alive and also generate new leads. The case is still open, only in name. The original police officers, as well as investigators that have kept the case ongoing, have passed away or are too old to continue investigating. It's believed that if this case occurred 10 or 20 years ago, the case would have been solved. However, in 1957, police did not communicate nor share information outside of local areas. Media coverage at the time was limited to Pennsylvania and the Delaware area. There were many theories as to what killed the young boy. The first was Frederick Benosis had played some part in the murder. However, he was questioned and cleared after passing a lie detector test. The second theory was that a foster home located 1.5 miles from the crime scene was the first place the police checked. When investigators arrived at the foster home, they noticed many flannel blankets hanging on the clothesline outside that matched the one the boy was wrapped in. They also noticed that there was a bassinet located inside the home, and the same one that would have been stored in the cardboard box that the boy was found in. An employee from the medical examiner's office theorized that the boy had been born to the daughter of the man who ran the foster home, and that his death was an accident. At the time, there were 8 foster children living there. All 8 children were checked out, as was the family, and they were all ruled out. It is believed that Arthur Nicoletti, the man who ran the foster home, is connected to the case. Nicoletti refused to take a polygraph test. A psychic was hired to assist in the investigation. The psychic led the investigators directly to the home, without previously being in the area first. The final theory presented occurred on May 2002. This theory was from Cincinnati, Ohio, where a woman claimed mother purchased the boy from his parents in 1954. The woman claimed that the boy's name was Jonathan. She stated that Jonathan was regularly abused and was forced to stay in their house basement. She stated that Jonathan was handicapped and could not speak. The woman claimed that her mother killed him in February 1957 in a fit of rage. She stated that her mother threw Jonathan down on the floor after he had vomited in the bathtub from eating baked beans. She claimed that after he had vomited, her mother bathed him, where he died accidentally. Investigators discovered that there was, in fact, baked beans in the boy's stomach. They also believed that this is how the boy's fingers could have been wrinkled. It was later revealed that neither of these 2 pieces of information were ever released to the public. Investigators believed that this was the lead that they needed to solve the case. However, they could not corroborate her story with her neighbors or friends. All of her neighbors and friends stated that they had never witnessed a child in the home. They investigated her background, and they discovered that she had a history of severe mental illness. They eventually dismissed this theory altogether. Other theories have presented themselves over time, however, they've all been discounted. In recent years, the public have shown love for America's unknown child. The public often leaves stuffed animals, flowers, and the like at his grave. They leave mementos to remind the public that the boy, the one that the people still care about, is not forgotten. The boy's identity was never found. And the case has run cold. A person's legacy goes on far beyond just their life. The impacts that we all have on each other's lives is incredible. It's everlasting, and in a lot of ways, it makes us immortal. America's unknown child, as tragic as the death of a boy can be, helps us remember one thing. No matter what, no matter who you are, and even in some cases, no matter what legacy you leave behind, you're never truly gone. You're never forgotten. Hey there, kids, it's me, Mr. Creepypasta, and once again, it's the end of tonight's video, so I want to tell you all thank you for listening or watching, however you hear my voice. Whether it be on YouTube or on the podcast, thank you so much for being here with me. There's going to be a new story every Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday night right here on YouTube, or if you're not watching on YouTube, that means the podcast gets updated on SoundCloud, Apple, Google Play, and now the podcast is on Spotify, so if it's easier for you guys to listen there than it is to listen on YouTube, then hey, not such a bad deal, right? As always, any support you guys give towards Mr. Creepypasta's Storytime really does help me out. I can actually keep the lights on in the house, and I can get nice little cat treats for Hercules. Okay, sorry for taking up so much of your time. Thank you guys for listening once again, and sweet dreams.